Secret History.
2 years into World War II, Britain stood alone against Nazi Germany. The one ally it needed, the USA, was determined to avoid war. On the 7th of December 1941, a surprise Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor changed all that.
It was a stunning military attack, almost perfectly executed. And they catch the Americans asleep.
More than 2,400 lives were lost and 19 ships destroyed or damaged. And the course of history changed forever. But how was the world's most powerful nation caught by surprise? Blame was pinned on the commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet.
My grandfather became a broken man. He could not figure out what he had done wrong. How could this have happened?
But to this day, questions remain about what really took place. Rumors persist that Churchill and Roosevelt conspired to bring America into the war.
Roosevelt wanted to help Great Britain. They said that he got us into this war because he let Pearl Harbor happen.
Now, new research has revealed what Washington knew before the attack and uncovered a crucial dossier that could have prevented Pearl Harbor.
The report included a map. There is absolutely no indication that that map ever went anywhere. It stayed in the Office of Naval Intelligence until it was found by us 75 years after the fact.
Black and white film of plumes of smoke rising up from the decimated base. Pearl Harbor, the new evidence. A sunny coastline, then women selling Hawaiian garlands on the street.
In 1941, Oahu in Hawaii was home to the headquarters of the United States Pacific Fleet, anchored in Pearl Harbor. Four aircraft carriers, nine battleships and 40 destroyers stood in the way of Japan's growing empire.
Dr. Conrad Crane.
Everybody in the United States knows that a war is coming with Japan. And a war in the Pacific is going to be dominated by the Navy. So, you know, whoever's in charge of the U.S. Pacific Fleet is going to be the main player.
Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet was the highly respected Admiral H. Kimmel.
Having been myself the former Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, there's no question in my mind Admiral Kimmel was certainly one of the top leaders in the Navy at that time.
Kimmel was the personal choice of President Roosevelt to defend the Pacific, calling him one of the greatest naval strategists of our time. But on the morning of Pearl Harbor, he was completely unaware of the impending aerial attack.
1941, 7th December. The sun rising in a caramel sky over the ocean. Robin Swan, co-author, A Matter of Honor.
That morning, a Sunday morning, 7:30, dawn, things were very normal in Pearl. Men going about their business, the raising of the colors was about to happen.
7:54 a.m. Sailors about to raise the flag look up to see many planes flying by.
Just minutes before 8 a.m., aircraft appear over different parts of Oahu. And at first, there's confusion about who they are.
Martin K.A. Morgan.
At the same time, Kimmel is leaving his quarters.
In uniform, Kimmel stops in his front garden and looks up.
He hears the aircraft.
He follows the progress of the aircraft as they pass by overhead.
I must have realized straight away, this is the real thing.
Now Kimmel, looking through binoculars. Explosions send up thick clouds of smoke.
Torpedoes start to burst into battleship row.
A shaky aerial view of the base being bombed. personnel on deck silhouetted against the smoke, then a man overboard.
Battleships are exploding. Bombs are hitting the barracks. The aircraft are being destroyed on the ground. You've got flames, you've got carnage, you've got blood. It's a day that no one foresaw.
It was a stunning military attack, almost perfectly executed.
Kimmel's getting report after report after report. The Arizona, the California, the Nevada, defenseless Navy seamen being cut down.
Admiral!
A bullet, a spent bullet, right at the end of its flight, shatters the window and strikes him in the left side of the chest. Crushes his spectacle case. And he says,
too bad it didn't kill me.
I'm sure he would have much preferred to have died with his men than be witness to this great tragedy.
Kimmel knew his survival meant he now faced the charge of not being prepared.
Kimmel understands that his career is effectively over and that there was going to be a dark cloud over his head after this attack.
Naval historian Professor Craig L. Simmons. Archive footage shows men standing on the upturned hull of a battleship. 1:40 p.m., the White House.
President Franklin D. Roosevelt had been given the news 16 minutes into the attack. Less than 5 months earlier, he'd been elected promising Americans not to go to war.
Yes?
He had just finished lunch, and he got a phone call from the Secretary of the Navy, and Frank Knox told him, Mr. President, it looks like the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor.
The president was shocked and said, if it's true, it takes the matter entirely out of my hands.
Prime Minister Winston Churchill was dining at Chequers when he heard the news of the attack. Churchill had pleaded with Roosevelt to help Britain defeat Hitler.
Prior to Pearl Harbor, President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Churchill had a very, very close relationship. They'd both worked in the First World War with their respective navies, and they often referred to that. They were also, in many ways, fellow thinkers.
Churchill got through to Roosevelt quite quickly, and Roosevelt told him, it's true, Pearl Harbor has been attacked. We're all in the same boat now. To Churchill, who'd been desperately wanting American involvement in the war and help in the Pacific, this was a huge relief.
Churchill wrote in his diary,
so we'd won after all. The United States is like a gigantic boiler. Once the fire is lighted under it, there is no limit to the power it can generate. I went to bed and slept the sleep of the saved and thankful.
Churchill finally had what he wanted from Roosevelt, the support of the American war machine. But over the coming months, it would lead to speculation that the two leaders had conspired to allow Pearl Harbor to happen. On the 7th of December 1941, the U.S. Pacific Fleet in Pearl Harbor was the target of a devastating attack by Japanese forces. It seemed the pride of the U.S. Navy had been caught asleep. The two-hour attack killed 2,403 people. Now new evidence reveals the truth about what happened.
There were four emotions in America that day: denial, aghast, anger, and revenge.
Historian Craig Shirley. The day after the attack, Washington.
President Franklin D. Roosevelt addressed the nation.
A date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Roosevelt announced America was joining the war, a decision that delighted Winston Churchill. But as the American public came to terms with the news, the seeds of a conspiracy theory were sown.
The conspiracy theory really tries to prove that what happens is that the president, Roosevelt, hangs out the Navy as a bait so that the Japanese will attack it. He can then use the attack as a reason to go to war against Nazi Germany, even though the American people and Congress don't want it.
The country was anti-war. The isolationists in this country did not want to go to war. Roosevelt wanted to help Great Britain. So they said that he got us into this war because he wanted to get us into this war. He let Pearl Harbor happen. He wanted to fight, help Churchill, and this is the only way he could do it.
We will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
Washington now needed to pinpoint the blame for Pearl Harbor. Just 9 days after the attack, Roosevelt announced an investigation.
Archive footage of Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941.
Imagine, the American people are in shock. And they're angry. Their country has been attacked. Who are they going to blame? Somebody had to be responsible.
As the newspapers put it, this was the commission that was going to find out the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
In the firing line was Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet.
Have a seat, sir.
It's not only Admiral Kimmel that's held accountable, but also Army Lieutenant General Walter Short. Both men have to answer why the defenses at Pearl Harbor were so inadequate to meet the Japanese attack.
The commission pointed to warnings that were sent to Kimmel about the possibility of an aerial attack.
If war eventuates with Japan, it is believed easily possible that hostilities would be initiated by a surprise attack at dawn. You received this warning?
Yes, I did.
And yet you were not prepared.
Kimmel realized that everything was falling apart around him. And on one point, he came out of the Roberts Commission hearing room and said to another officer, "What are they trying to do? Crucify me?"
January 1942.
7 weeks later, Justice Owen Roberts delivered the commission's findings to President Roosevelt.
Mr. Justice.
In the reconstruction of events, the president's handed a file.
Roosevelt read it through very carefully, line by line, occasionally saying, "It could not have been more damning."
The Roberts Commission verdict was dereliction of duty on the part of both Kimmel and Army Field Commander General Short.
That's as bad as it gets. They're basically being told you're incompetent, you didn't defend the flag, you didn't do what was expected of you. You failed your country.
Colonel Kevin W. Farrell.
It might be difficult for a civilian to understand, but for a career-serving officer, it is a fate literally worse than death.
Tom Kimmel, grandson of Admiral Kimmel.
When the Roberts Commission's findings are trumpeted to the press, Admiral Kimmel is deluged with hate mail, nothing short of hate mail.
In addition to hate mail, he receives death threats. He gets it from judges. He gets it from members of the House of Representatives, people who are encouraging him to kill himself.
Robin Swan, co-author, A Matter of Honor.
One person actually posted him a pistol told him that he could do the country a favor by taking his own life. The strain was really beginning to tell on Kimmel. One of his sons thought his father might commit suicide.
My grandfather became a broken man. He could not figure out what he had done wrong. How could this have happened?
Now new research has revealed neither Kimmel nor the American public were told the full story.
June 1941. A headline reads, "Peace or War? Uncle Sam still negotiating with Japs."
6 months before Pearl Harbor, Kimmel flew to Washington to see his boss and lifelong friend, Chief of Naval Operations Harold Stark.
In the reconstruction, Kimmel climbed stairs with a briefcase.
One of Kimmel's greatest concerns is that he knows there are ongoing negotiations with the Japanese, but he doesn't know exactly what's happening.
Thank you. So, what about intelligence? I'm not getting much.
He needs to be kept in the loop. He needs to be kept informed. Now, Stark is going to promise him that he will be informed going forward.
In fact, Washington had been holding back vital intelligence from Kimmel for months.
A filing cabinet.
One crucial report revealed a revolutionary weapons modification that made the ships at Pearl Harbor easy prey.
Martin K.A. Morgan, author and historian.
One thing that Kimmel was reassured about was that the 45-foot depth of Pearl Harbor was too shallow for an attack using aerial torpedoes.
The way the torpedoes are deployed, you can understand it, it's dropped from an airplane, and the torpedo immediately hits the water and goes deep into the water, and it comes back up for its run. So the sense was that if you're going to drop a torpedo in the Pearl Harbor, it's immediately going to hit the bottom of the harbor, and it'll be completely worthless.
But on the 11th of November 1940, a daring British bombing raid in Italy would show just how vulnerable Pearl Harbor was to attack.
On that date, the Royal Navy carried out an extraordinarily successful air raid against the Italian anchorage at Taranto, southern Italy.
Black and white footage of explosions at sea.
Royal Navy bombers used torpedoes to sink a number of Italian warships.
The attacking Swordfish biplanes launched specially modified torpedoes in very shallow water, shallower than Pearl Harbor. Within 30 minutes, they'd disabled three battleships. The success of the British mission was all down to a low-tech design modification.
What they'd done is very, very simple. The Brits simply put wooden fins on the torpedoes, which meant that when they hit the water, rather than plunging to the bottom and detonating, they simply went in quite shallow and then skimmed on the surface and were highly effective.
The US Navy in Washington wanted to know more and received a special report. Recently rediscovered by researchers and never before seen on British television, it showed Pearl Harbor was now at risk of torpedo attack.
The report included a map. The map showed clearly that torpedoes were dropped in water far shallower than that at Pearl Harbor.
But this critical information was to stay hidden.
There is absolutely no indication that that map ever went anywhere. It seems to have stayed in the Office of Naval Intelligence until it was found by us during research 75 years after the fact.
That was a huge mistake.
Admiral Stark continued to send Kimmel falsely reassuring information.
You know, Stark, you almost think he's working for the other side.
The archives revealed the Taranto report wasn't the only intelligence being ignored.
There's something else that Kimmel should have known about, and that's Dusan Popoff and his questionnaire.
Former analyst Mark Stout.
Dusan Popoff, known to Dushko as his friends, was a Yugoslav playboy who the Germans thought was a spy for them, but who, unbeknownst to them, was a double agent and had been turned by British intelligence.
Popoff skiing.
Dusko Popoff. Well, he was the model for James Bond.
Dusan Popoff liked women. He liked a lot of women.
British intelligence turned their colorful double agent over to the FBI and its prudish boss, J. Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover couldn't stand the fact that they had to interact with this guy. The British sent him a double agent who loved three ways. He had an enormous libido. That's why he was called Tricycle. Indeed, J. Edgar Hoover wanted to charge him with something called the Mann Act, which was an act against taking a woman across state lines for immoral purposes. In other words, having a girlfriend.
But Popoff brought Hoover a vital piece of intelligence. A list of questions drawn up by the Nazis for Tokyo, cleverly concealed in microscopic dots within an official telegram.
It just so happens the Germans were doing a little bit of work for the Japanese. The Japanese had asked the Germans to collect some data. The Americans had the equipment to actually magnify the microdot and to read the questionnaire. And wouldn't you know, the questionnaire included questions about Pearl Harbor.
Tokyo wanted to know about the water depth at Pearl Harbor and whether or not anti-airdrop torpedo nets were in place.
You'd think that alarm bells would start to ring. No. Popoff had evidence of Japanese intentions in the very questions he was being asked to answer. But the United States was not in the spy game. This was far beyond the FBI's understanding in 1941.
Instead, the FBI get obsessed by the microdot technology. They don't pass on the information to Kimmel.
All the information clearly indicated the Japanese intent to attack the Hawaiian Islands.
And Washington had even darker secrets. Secrets that 75 years later can be fully revealed.
New York, February 1944.
A year after the attack on Pearl Harbor, the man held responsible, Admiral Kimmel, had left the Navy in disgrace.
Call me a pilot.
And taken a job in a naval engineering firm in Manhattan.
Yes, may I help you, sir?
A major turning point in this story unfolds when a naval intelligence officer comes to visit Kimmel.
Yes.
Admiral Kimmel. Captain Lawrence Stafford. U.S. Navy.
Lawrence Safford was the head of the Navy's codebreaking unit. He was their chief codebreaker. He was a genius.
Safford told Kimmel about a top-secret U.S. military project called MAGIC.
I didn't receive anything.
Admiral Kimmel, stunned, looked at Captain Safford and said, "Captain, what in the world are you talking about? What is MAGIC?"
An electronic switchboard, the keys of a typewriter depressing themselves, then a finished message rolling out of the machine.
MAGIC was the overall U.S. military project to decipher Japanese diplomatic codes. Because of MAGIC, we could see into their day-to-day operations.
An operator adjusts a dial.
It was like sitting in a room with a mirror behind the poker player, seeing the cards that your opponent was being dealt or was about to deal. It gave you an amazing secret that you could use to your advantage.
At the heart of the operation was a machine codenamed Purple. Similar in operation to the Germans' Enigma, it decoded Japan's diplomatic messages.
Mark Stout, former CIA intelligence analyst.
This is an electromechanical machine that operates off of multiple rotors. And the effect of it is that when you type in a message, that every single letter is basically encrypted in a different cipher from the last one. These are fiendishly complex.
Magic had produced a mountain of revealing information about the oncoming Japanese attack on December 7th. Kimmel had no idea that this existed.
Now, 75 years on from Pearl Harbor, these secret documents have been exhaustively re-examined. They show exactly what Washington knew about the impending attack. One of the intercepted messages revealed spy operations directly on Pearl Harbor.
24th September, 1941.
One of the intercepts takes place on the 24th of September, 1941. It's sent from Tokyo to Hawaii to the Japanese embassy there.
And this message instructs the consulate to report the exact position where ships are at anchor in Pearl Harbor. The job of assembling this information goes to an employee at the Japanese consulate named Takio Yoshikawa.
In a black and white reconstruction, two Japanese men are traveling in a car.
Tadeo Yoshikawa is a Japanese intelligence officer serving in Honolulu. And he pretends to be a consular officer, but his real purpose for being there is to spy on the U.S. Navy.
Spying through binoculars.
Tokyo asks Yoshikawa to use a grid to plot exactly where ships were anchored in Pearl Harbor. In the build-up to the attack, Washington learned he'd been asked to increase his surveillance to twice a week.
The only reason that that level of specific detail about location would be interesting in any way is if you are planning on attacking the place.
Washington assisted Churchill in intercepting Japanese messages.
Yoshikawa transmitting by radio.
But crucial intelligence was not sent to Admiral Kimmel in Hawaii.
It's a remarkable thing, isn't it, that Kimmel, Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific, is not being given information that's even available to the British, let alone to Washington. He's kept completely in the dark.
Only 10 men were allowed to see the magic intercepts.
There was a daily ritual in which one officer would go to those designated to see magic, and he would have the material in a folder in a locked pouch.
Among those given clearance to see magic intercepts was Kimmel's boss, Admiral Stark.
The recipient reads them, is not allowed to take notes, and then they're taken away again.
You done with that, sir?
Typically never to be seen again.
Yes.
This ended up in a situation where each packet of magic was viewed only as individual frames, never as the film that would have told the whole story.
It's a deeply flawed system because there's nobody whose primary job is to look at this continuing stream of amazing material and figure out what it all means.
Newsreel footage of reporters and Japanese diplomats.
In November 1941, Washington's intelligence failure reached critical proportions. As Japanese diplomats appeared to negotiate to avert war, secret magic intercepts of messages from Tokyo revealed that the Japanese high command had very different plans.
On November 5th, magic intercepts an ominous message. It's transmitted to the Japanese embassy, and it instructs them to move toward a deadline of negotiations by November 25th. It even tells them that beyond that deadline, things will happen automatically.
A folder of classified intercepts is handed to an admiral.
So the obvious question would be, what's so special about November 25th? What's going to happen on that day? Why is this a deadline?
Well, in point of fact, something does happen. Something has begun to move that it is too late to stop.
Something conspiracy theorists claim was linked to Winston Churchill.
Japanese archive footage.
25th of November, 1941. The Japanese Navy had secretly set sail to attack Pearl Harbor. But President Roosevelt had seen an intercept from Tokyo that gave a date for the end of diplomatic negotiations and called together his war cabinet.
On November 25th, there's a meeting with President Roosevelt in which he believes that the Japanese are going to take some sort of dramatic action somewhere.
The president is concerned. He comments that an attack could come as early as Monday, December 1st.
As a result of that, Admiral Stark issues a war warning that says we are likely to be attacked.
And an aggressive move by Japan is expected within the next few days.
Stark's warning was sent to naval bases across the Pacific, including Admiral Kimmel at Pearl Harbor. But it was woefully vague on detail.
When Kimmel receives the war warning from Washington, it's very confusing. It directs his attention to the possibility of an attack in places thousands of miles away from Pearl Harbor.
It doesn't mention the Hawaiian Islands by name. The result then is that Kimmel continues on with training.
And that's what he was focused on, training, preparation for offensive war. Not an attack on Pearl Harbor.
But some later believed the British knew about the Japanese plans, and conspiracy theories have circulated ever since. One claims Churchill called Roosevelt to warn him of an imminent attack, a call allegedly recorded in a transcript.
And this is one of the conspiracy theories that Roosevelt and Churchill talked, and there's a manuscript of it.
Churchill allegedly told Roosevelt, "I can assure you, their goal is Pearl Harbor on the 8th of December."
There's a lot of mythology, and this is one of the mythology. Someone made it up, a Roosevelt hater made it up to say that we got us into the war. That's fake. Roosevelt was not that popular in this country, and many, particularly Republicans, wanted to hang Roosevelt.
The transcript of Churchill's alleged warning would later be dismissed as a fake. And far from Britain being better informed, there were gaps in intelligence shared by the US. New research has now uncovered a 1949 report for Churchill that said, "We did not have all the Americans had."
The attack on Hawaii, 6th December, 1941.
The day before the attack, the Japanese fleet closed to within striking distance of Pearl Harbor.
Color archive film shows people on a sunny street, then the coastline.
Throughout that Saturday, 13 parts of what would be a 14-part message were intercepted as they were sent from Tokyo to its embassy in Washington.
And it is clear from the language that diplomatic relations are about to end between the United States and the Empire of Japan.
But Pearl Harbor and the commander of the Pacific Fleet, Admiral Kimmel, were not informed.
From the 6th to the 7th December 1941, the day before the attack, speeded up clock hands move, stopping at 9:30.
By Sunday morning, The final and critical 14th part of the intercepted message arrived on Commander Kramer's desk. Kramer took it to the White House for President Roosevelt to read.
Sir.
Kramer passes it to Roosevelt, who's sitting up in bed. Roosevelt opens the thin folder he's been handed.
It looks like they're going to sever communications, sir.
That 14th part doesn't specifically say the word war, but that is the unambiguous meaning of it to everybody who reads this message.
After having just dropped off the message to FDR, Kramer returns only to find there is another intercept waiting.
And Japan's instructions are very precise. You are to deliver these 14 messages to Washington at 1 o'clock Washington time on December 7th.
Professor Timothy Naftali. Now, Andrew Robert Shaw.
Kramer realizes 1 o'clock is a key time because it's 7:30 in the morning in the Pacific. Perfect for an attack on Pearl Harbor.
Kramer runs.
So he knows that we are within hours of a Japanese attack.
Sparks fly as a code machine is destroyed.
The Japanese are also told, once you get this part, destroy your code machine. You're not going to need it anymore. That is the universal signal for the start of a war.
Gentlemen, I understand your concerns. Captain Kramer?
I just received this intercept, sir.
Thank you.
Kramer went into Stark to tell him about the time. And Stark, apparently, and this is a quote, didn't seem at all perturbed.
That's dawn in Hawaii.
Yes.
He is trying to tell him, you need to notify Admiral Kimmel.
Thank you, Captain. That'll be all.
And he promises that he will.
Gentlemen, will you give me a few minutes, please? Thank you.
When they left the office, they thought they had the impression that he was going to do it.
He looks at two black telephones.
But in fact, he did nothing at all.
When Army Chief General Marshall arrived at work and at last realized its significance, he raced to get a message to his commanders to be on the alert.
That is an immediate war warning. Forces in the Pacific can expect an attack, a forthcoming attack.
There then began this sort of black farce.
Marshall's message was rushed to the radio room. There were now just 70 minutes before Japan's envoys were instructed to cut off negotiations. Barely an hour to get the message to Admiral Kimmel at Pearl Harbor. But then another delay. Marshall's staff were unable to read their boss's writing.
A light bulb comes on and shines brightly.
At this point, time is running out.
If they were to warn Pearl Harbor, Washington had to get the message to Admiral Kimmel before dawn broke.
Yeah, I can't hear anything at all.
Unfortunately, radio transmissions don't work that day.
Dr. Conrad Crane.
Mother Nature plays a role in these things. The atmospheric conditions are such so the communications can't be made from the Army Signal Center to Hawaii.
Craig Shirley.
So they end up sending it as a telegram.
The message eventually gets delivered by a courier on a bicycle.
The courier rides through a puddle. Archive film shows plumes of rolling dark smoke billowing up from stricken ships. In a reconstruction, Kimmel's sitting at his desk with a bleak, distant expression when he's finally handed the message.
Finally placed in Kimmel's hands, 8 hours after the attack started.
It hadn't even been marked priority.
Photographs show the massive columns of smoke and devastating explosions. Manning Kimmel grandson of Admiral Kimmel.
If my grandfather had just had that information as late as 30 minutes before the attack began, just imagine what the outcome would have been.
They would have recalled all of the sailors to the ships. The army would have manned their anti-aircraft. We would have had our fighters ready. And in my view, we could have decimated the Japanese attack.
Admiral James Ace Lyons, Jr., former Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Pacific Fleet. 15th August, 1945.
With the war won, America celebrated. But even in victory, unanswered questions remained about their darkest day.
Robin Swan, co-author, A Matter of Honor.
The public isn't satisfied. Congress isn't satisfied. There are question marks still hanging over Pearl Harbor 4 years after the event.
Following the death of Franklin Roosevelt, new President Harry Truman agreed to a joint congressional hearing and released the secret magic intercepts.
15th November, 1945.
The joint congressional inquiry is the biggest congressional show of the year. This is very important to Kimmel because it's his first opportunity to state publicly what had happened at Pearl Harbor.
We needed one thing. That vital need was the information available in Washington from the intercepted dispatches, which told when and where Japan would probably strike.
Kimmel told the inquiry about the 1 p.m. intercept warning of a possible dawn raid.
The translation of this short message from the Japanese was a two-minute job. This information was not supplied to me prior to the attack.
Kimmel was clear and forthright. Not so his boss, Admiral Stark, who seemed to evade key questions.
I don't recall. I don't remember. No, I do not.
He repeatedly says he does not know what happened. He does not recall various events. In particular, when he's asked repeatedely why on the morning of December 7th, he hadn't picked up the telephone to call Admiral Kimmel and tell him that the Japanese had delivered a message saying that 1 o'clock was a significant time. And he simply says,
"It did not occur to me."
From Stark in the reconstruction, to a photo of the man himself.
He certainly understood what the Japanese were doing and why he did not pick up that phone to alert Admiral Kimmel as really any professional, honorable naval officer would have done remains an open question.
Andrew Robert Shaw.
The Navy did not forgive Kimmel because of what Pearl Harbor means. Pearl Harbor is a national disgrace. It's also a blow to the American Navy, something they'll never expunge from their history. There it is, it's the blot. And if anyone was going to be blamed, it was going to be Kimmel. No matter what he said, no matter what evidence he produced, somebody was going to suffer, and he certainly did.
While Kimmel was cleared of dereliction of duty, the Navy refused to restore his 4-star rank. In later life, Kimmel came to believe Pearl Harbor was a conspiracy to get America into the war, and that it went right up to the president.
The idea that Roosevelt would be willing to sacrifice the United States fleet in order to get the United States into war is absolutely inconceivable. At the time, he did not consider this good news in any way and on any level.
Roosevelt was ex-Assistant Secretary of the Navy. He knows better than most people how important ships are going to be in a new world war.
There is no solid evidence that President Roosevelt or anyone close to him suspected that Pearl Harbor itself would be attacked. Perhaps they should have done, given the intelligence they had, but they did not.
But the question remained, if it was not a conspiracy, why didn't Washington read the signs and anticipate the attack?
In my view, the whole problem of Pearl Harbor is just a figure of imagination. It's the same thing that happened in 9/11. Nobody envisioned a bunch of terrorists with box cutters would use airliners to take down skyscrapers. We underestimate what our potential enemies can do. And that's rampant in 1941 around Pearl Harbor. Nobody envisions this kind of disaster can happen.